Acts 5:10 to 42. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people the full message of this new life." At the daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. When someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts, teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in the name," he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Saviour, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed them, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed. All his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people to revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." When his speech persuaded them, they called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ.
Let's pray. Father God, as we approach your word now, we pray that your Spirit will guide us. We pray that you would help us to remember what you have done for us through Christ Jesus. We pray that you would help us to apply that to our lives, to the concrete circumstances that we face each day, to the struggles that we face, and to the joys that we celebrate. We pray that in all these things we might remember that you are faithful to your promises. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we'd all like to be people that others can depend on. As a father, something that's really important to me is that my kids are able to depend on me. Now, I don't always manage it, but it's something that I try. And so when it comes to being where I say I'm going to be, I try really hard to make sure that my kids can depend on me. If I say I'm going to be somewhere, I am there. If I say I'm going to pick them up from a certain place or at a certain time, I am there, ready and waiting, usually 10 or 15 minutes early. That just could be the way I was brought up, but usually a little bit early. But as hard as I try, I haven't always been able to manage this. It doesn't always work out as I've had planned. Sometimes I've lost track of time and had to do a fairly speedy journey through fairly busy traffic to get to where they are. And so as hard as I've tried, I haven't always been able to do what I said I would do. A few months ago, Tamara, Vanessa and I were having tea with a couple in Wagga. While our daughters, our older two, and their daughters were off at youth group. We had a great time getting to know this couple, looking around their very impressive house, a restored church, and talking to them about all sorts of different things. We got talking about so many different things that, unfortunately, we didn't leave quite enough time to get back to the girls on time. Now, we weren't very late, but for me to be late to pick up my girls is a very unusual thing. And so they were left a little bit concerned, wondering where I was. It's very important to me that when I say I'm going to be somewhere, my girls know that they can depend on it. But even though it's important to me, I haven't always been able to do it. I haven't always been able to live up to those promises, even though I've wanted to. And even though I will at times let people down when I promise things, and we all do in different ways, our Heavenly Father's promises never, ever fail. He always does exactly what he says he will do. And it's because he fulfills every promise that he makes that we can trust everything that he's promised. Now, at Christmas time, we celebrate a promise. We set up nativity scenes to remind us of the birth of a child more than 2,000 years ago. But it isn't just about the birth of a child that we celebrate Christmas. A lot of children have been born since then. What we celebrate at Christmas is that God has fulfilled his promise. He has sent his son, and his son has died for the forgiveness of sins. And so we don't have to wonder whether we can trust God's word. We don't have to wonder whether every word of God will be fulfilled. Because at Christmas, and of course of Easter, and Lord willing, every day, we are reminded that God is faithful to his promises. Because he always fulfills his promises, we can trust him no matter what we are going through. And that's exactly what the apostles are doing in these verses. In these verses, the apostles are facing some incredible circumstances. They're in a really difficult situation, but they weren't facing these circumstances alone, because they knew that they could depend on the God who always fulfills his promises. In the previous verses, Ananias and Sapphira had been judged for trying to lie to the Holy Spirit. And as they were judged, a great fear had come upon anyone who heard about what had happened. But despite this fear, the church continued to grow. And the apostles, well, they continued to grow in favor amongst all the people. But this growing church and this respect the apostles had gained through what God was doing through them made the religious leaders extremely jealous. And so out of jealousy, they had the apostles arrested and put in jail. Just think about this. One minute they're on a high. One minute the apostles are seeing and doing amazing things. God was working through them. People were being healed. Demons were being cast out. And the church was growing at an incredibly rapid rate. The next minute, they're thrown in prison. But God didn't leave them there. During the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and guided them out. The angel told them to go, stand in the temple courts and tell the people the full message of this new life. It's remarkable, isn't it? Despite all this opposition, despite the conflict that they knew that they would face, they were being told to go back and do the exact thing that had caused them to be put in prison. They weren't to hide from these angry and jealous religious leaders, but to go right out in public, right in the temple courts, in the temple of the Lord, right in front of everybody, and keep on sharing the good news. Now, I've never spent a night in prison, thankfully, but I'm assuming it's not a place that you want to go back to. The apostles went and did exactly what God had told them to do through this angel. So what could possibly make the apostles go and share the good news, even though they knew the consequences were very real? It was their confidence in God's word. They'd seen time and time again that God is faithful to his promises. And so at daybreak, they got up, went to the temple courts, and began to preach and teach about Jesus. While they were in the temple courts sharing the good news of Jesus, this incredibly powerful council called the Sanhedrin were assembling to decide their fate, along with the full assembly of the elders of Israel. When they went to look for the apostles, well, they were nowhere to be found. The doors were locked. The guards were standing outside, but they'd basically vanished. And who would have thought to look for them right in the temple of the Lord, right in public, sharing the good news? That's exactly where they were. And so when the officers went and asked them to come with them to the Jewish religious leaders, this time they didn't dare try and take them by force. They were far too afraid of the crowds by now, since all of the people held them in such high regard. God was humbling these religious leaders. They tried to put his apostles in prison, but he'd let them out. They'd assembled to try and decide the fate of God's chosen messengers. They couldn't even find them. And the only reason that the apostles were brought before this huge and powerful council was because it was God's will for them to do so. Now, when the apostles finally came before the Sanhedrin, they were questioned by the high priest, who said these words: "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." To which Peter and all of the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men." Now, to understand the gravity of what they had just said, we need to have a good idea of who they were saying these words to. This was the Sanhedrin, the most highly respected Jewish leaders in Israel. These were the men who believed that they were the ones who spoke on God's behalf. They were the ones who had God's law. They were the ones that you would go to hear from God. And yet, here the apostles are telling them that they were out of step with God. And when they heard these words, well, they wanted to put the apostles to death right there on the spot. And they probably would have done so if it wasn't for one Jewish religious leader named Gamaliel. Now, later in the book of Acts, we'll spend quite a bit of time looking at one of Gamaliel's most famous students, a man named Saul, who would later be named Paul. Gamaliel was a very prominent and clearly very wise Jewish religious leader. He was so well respected that even as this council was in turmoil, worked up into sort of a crowd, group mentality, mob mentality, he was able to calm them down. He was able to gain their attention. They respected him so much that even as upset as they were, they still listened to what he had to say. Gamaliel had the apostles sent outside so that he could speak freely about their situation. And then he addressed them by saying these words: "I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." Very wise words. Clearly, this council, even as worked up as they were able to see the wisdom in what Gamaliel had said. And so they ordered that the apostles be flogged. Now, we skip over that word, but for them to be flogged, that would have meant getting the 39 lashes. This wasn't a small beating. This is just one number shy of what was believed to have killed a man. This was a significant beating. And then they ordered them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. And as the now bloody and wounded apostles left the Sanhedrin that day, they stumbled away, rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ Jesus. It's remarkable, isn't it? Rejoicing as they stumbled away from the Sanhedrin because of what God had been doing through them. And day after day, they continued to obey God rather than men. They never stopped teaching or proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. So the question for us today is, what would make the apostles act that way? What would cause them to ignore the serious consequences that they knew were coming their way if they kept on preaching and teaching about Jesus? The answer is that they knew that the God that they served is faithful to all his promises. Even though God hadn't promised them that he would release them from jail every time they get locked up, and even though God hadn't spared them from the 39 lashes, despite their circumstances, the apostles were able to live as those who knew they had a far greater victory than the suffering they were facing in that moment, even when it didn't look like it. Because they serve the God who is always faithful to his promises. Christmas isn't just about the birth of a baby. It's about God fulfilling his promise to send his Son to save a people for himself. Christmas is all about remembering that God is faithful to his promises. And that changes everything. It means that we don't need to allow our circumstances, whatever it is we're facing, to dictate whether we are hope-filled or hopeless. Yesterday, I was having a bit of a frustrating morning, having a bit of a breakdown, a machinery breakdown, not myself. And I was quite frustrated knowing how long it was going to take to get the parts I needed. And I was reminding myself, thinking about these words, it's really not that important. The hope we have in Christ Jesus is far greater. And I have a choice in those moments whether I'm going to be hope-filled or lose my hope because I've forgotten it. Thankfully, the Spirit reminded me to be hope-filled that day. We have a hope that is guaranteed because God has sent his Son. Christmas doesn't guarantee that life will go smoothly. It'd be pretty naive to think that. Christmas doesn't guarantee that we'll achieve everything we want to in this life. But Christmas does guarantee the hope that those who trust in Jesus have. The certain hope of forgiveness of sins, no matter how many times we fail to live up to God's standards. A certain hope of relationship with God, even though we constantly fall short of his glory. And a certain hope of life beyond the grave with Christ forever. A hope that's rock solid because God is always faithful to his promises. How could the apostles act this way in the face of such persecution? It's because they knew that God is faithful to his promises. They knew that the hope they had was far greater than the suffering they were facing. And so they made the far better choice and chose to follow God instead of men. They chose to obey the one who is faithful to his promises. These verses remind us that those who trust in Jesus are not spared from hardships in this life. And they remind us that following the Lord won't always be easy. But they also remind us that even when it looks as though everything is stacked up against us, we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a victory that is far greater than whatever it is we're facing. We have faith in the God who is always faithful to his promises and who has proved that to us through Christmas, through sending his Son. We have a hope that cannot be taken away regardless of what we are facing today or tomorrow or this week. So whatever you're facing this week, whether joys or sorrow, know that you can have hope and joy even in the midst of difficult circumstances. Because God, the God we serve, is always faithful to his promises. And he has proved that to us by sending his Son. Let's pray. Father God, we confess that we have so often allowed our circumstances to take away our hope. We have so often allowed the difficulties of this life to stop us from remembering the hope we have in you. Lord, help us to be hope-filled. Help us to remember that you are always faithful to your promises, that we have been forgiven through your Son, that we continue to be forgiven through your Son. And that is all because you have been faithful to everything you've promised. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.